joining us in studio. Very excited for our next guest. Announced he is running for mayor of Mobile this coming up mayoral election. Judge Carlos Finley joins us in studio. Judge, how are you this morning?
I'm well. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Hold on. There we go.
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you, Jeff?
Sorry, it's like I'm doing well. It's just like I just learned how to run a radio show here just the other day or something. Congratulations on the announcement. That's big news. We anticipate maybe another announcement or maybe two announcements or so. But really, talk about your decision to run, why you're running, what you want to accomplish.
Well, you know, we've got a vision for our city. And it's a vision that I don't think has been shared by any other candidates and by any other mayors, quite frankly. And I think that it's a matter of timing. I think administration has its season. And this is our season. We've got some challenges here in our city relative to public safety and neighborhood safety is first and foremost, and also some economic building and some opportunities that are very, very encouraging. But we've got to have the right leadership in place to take advantage of those. And, of course, I'm talking about our budding tourism industry, and specifically cultural and heritage tourism. Cultural and heritage tourism is the fastest growing segment of the tourist industry in our country. And many people may not realize it, but tourism is the second largest industry in our country. So that presents this 318-year-old city with some very unique opportunities to take advantage of.
Yeah, so tourism, other areas of the economy you see that can be improved upon beyond tourism?
Well, I think we're doing a fine job in the industrial setting. And ever since, you know, Mayor Dow brought about his string of pearls, we've been really focused on that manufacturing and industrial setting. And I think that we've made some really great gains there. But I think that the future is going to be in getting people into our city, sharing the jewel that we have, and letting them go home with that. There was a recent trip to Savannah that the chamber took. And the people in Savannah told them that there are three reasons why we have, you know, over 6 million visitors each year. And the first one is the riverfront. The second one is the riverfront. And the third one is the riverfront.
Right.
And so here in Mobile, if you don't really know that river's down there, oftentimes it's overlooked. And I think that's a great opportunity for us to increase both an economic interest as well as something for our citizens here in the city to enjoy as well.
We'll talk about that. You mentioned your potential predecessors or the current mayor and mayors before that, not really having lived up to Mobile, not having lived up to its potential under their leadership, or I assume that's kind of what you meant. What could you do different?
Well, I think we can partner more with entities that are currently here. Let's talk to the state docs. Let's see about maybe shifting some things around. We just made a big purchase of property here recently down near the Brookley complex, and part of that is going to be earmarked for industrial settings. And so I don't think that it's necessarily that people haven't lived up to what they were doing. I think that the opportunity, given the right skew, has not been viewed as such. We've had somewhat of a focus on industry and industry alone. And I've just seen too many opportunities in too many other cities where industry and recreation coexist. And we've got that potential here in the city of Mobile, because we certainly don't want to lose any of our industrial advantages that we have gained over the years.
Well, sounds like a lot of the focus so far, we've talked about that downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
Does West Mobile, when you look in, beyond I-65, addressing that part of it, is there anything in your mind that could be improved upon there?
Well, certainly. There are pockets of neighborhoods within West Mobile that certainly can use attention. The Azalea Road area has become somewhat of a concern from a criminal activity perspective here of recent months, and that's something that I think we really need to grab a hold of before it becomes a very serious issue. As you know, I'm a city judge, and so I see oftentimes activities and trends of areas that are picking up, and that's one of them that we've got to really concern ourselves with.
Is that something happening on a broader scale? Do you feel like that the public safety ought to be maybe more closely examined?
Well, I do, but not necessarily how we may traditionally think about public safety. I don't look at public safety as just the police department and the fire department. I look at public safety as neighborhood and community safety and engaging those people who are in those communities with government, because after all, government is for and of the people. And so I think we need to get our communities and our residents more engaged. I'm looking towards establishing an office of community involvement, using a liaison to show neighborhoods how to set up neighborhood associations. The neighborhood that I live in or that we live in, we've had a neighborhood association for, gosh, probably 30 years now. And it is crucial to keeping our neighbors informed, and we divide the responsibilities up when you talk about attending, city council meetings, county commission meetings, planning board meetings, water board meetings, all of those things. Neighborhoods need to understand what's going on. And if we can form more associations within our communities, it's going to get more people involved and keep them involved. And I think that's really the foundation of how we're going to improve our safety, as well as some other things regarding, officer involvement. I'd like to see more of our police officers living in our communities and establishing, significant relationships with individuals who live there. As a child, Tyree Richburg was the police officer who lived around the corner. And so it wasn't just a person that we didn't know coming in to necessarily tell us what to do or direct us to do. He was a part of our community. I played with his children.
Right.
They were my friends. We need more of that in our city, and I think that'll help a lot with our public safety and things of that nature.
Well, even beyond public safety, because it's been a while since I've lived in the city of Mobile, but downtown, I lived in West Mobile, and downtown seemed like a world away. I'm sure it's like that all over the city that, it's almost like its own entity, and you feel so isolated away from it that maybe you need to figure out a way to kind of bring it closer together.
Well, I think there's a perception of that, Jeff, quite frankly, because whether you realize it or not, now you can get from downtown Mobile to Hillcrest Road utilizing I-65 and the corridor, I-10 and the Tillman's Corner thoroughfare fairly quickly. And so there's been some infrastructure changes that the county has done that to aid that ability for us to not feel so alienated from one another. But the perception is there. And though perception is not always reality, it is perceived as such. And so I think that if we communicate to our West Mobilians and our downtown Mobilians that we're all Mobilians,
right,
then we can start to alleviate some of those issues.
Because it's that historical divide that you live on one side of the interstate of I-65 and then the other side. It's almost like two separate worlds at times.
I would submit to you, though, that probably every city deals with a version of that. But it's about reaching across those divides,
right,
and grabbing your family's hand and saying, come on over here. And because obviously many of us downtown residents have to come to West Mobile because, let's be clear, Most of the retail opportunities and things of that nature are on the west side of I-65. So we're coming down here. We'd like to invite many of them to come downtown, and not only to come down for retail, but to come down and live. There are so many vacant lots and spaces on the north side of our city that it's unreal. And that's another issue that we've got to deal with as well. Blighted properties, vacant lots, those are all things that are issues on the surface, but they're also opportunities.
Right, we kind of look at the historical, and I was a kid who lived in Mobile in the 1980s. There were tumbleweeds going down Dolphin Street, and now now look at how much it's changed just in that span of time. Is that kind of, I guess, the direction we need to head in when you talk about expanding north and making downtown more of a functioning community?
No question. I giggled because I was recently asked a question about downtown and how are we going to support our businesses down there. And I use that term because I've lived in downtown Mobile since 1985. And yes, in the late 80s, there were tumbleweeds going down Dolphin Street after 5:30 because that's when all the businesses, all the court staff went home. There's really nothing going on. But we infused a new iteration of downtown since then, and we'll continue to do so. You know, I think oftentimes in many cities today, especially Mobile, we've found that, you know, we've tried to get away from the heart of the city. And you can't. You cannot leave the heart of your city. The city won't survive. Many of our larger cities across the country have, during the 80s and 90s, began to move out of those cities. But now you find them coming back because, obviously, the city is the heart, and nothing can survive without its heart.
I mean, it's kind of the, you look around the state, also compare Mobile to Birmingham. Birmingham chose a different path, and it's very balkanized. There's all these municipalities in Jefferson County, and where that doesn't seem to be as appealing as Mobile, you do have to overcome those divisions.
Yes, indeed. I was fortunate enough to attend law school in the Birmingham area, so I'm aware of, you know, Midfield and Fairfield and all of those Irondale,
right,
and all of those different places and how they've established themselves. That's fine if that's what you want to do, but Mobile is not Birmingham.
Right.
And we're not trying to make it Birmingham or Montgomery or Atlanta or New Orleans or Chattanooga or anywhere else, but Mobile. We are a unique city. We've got major, major advantages here that we can develop for our citizenry and invite people back in because, you know, one of the biggest issues that we're dealing with now is population decline. And it's been a steady decline in our city. We've got to get more people into our city as opposed to moving our borders out.
It's so, you know, that's, the, I guess, the big one, annexation.
Correct.
Everybody talks about annexation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think? What do you think of that?
Well, I think that annexation at the proper time in a healthy manner is certainly a positive. But it's got to be done in a healthy manner. And we've got to take care of what we have first before we start building in other areas. I mean, from the simplest terms, if the bathroom in your house was crumbling down, would you go and build another room?
Right.
Or would you fix the bathroom first? Once you got the bathroom in working order, then okay, let's make a larger property here.
Let's get a break in here. We'll pick this discussion up on the other side. My guest is Mobile Mayoral Hopeful Carlos Finley. This is the Jeff Bohr Show at FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Bohr Show at FM Talk 106.5. 24 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Still in studio with us, our guest, Mobile Mayoral Hopeful Carlos Finley. Judge Finley, before we went to break there, I want to pick up on something. We didn't talk about this yet. The bridge over the bay to Baldwin County, everybody's got ideas about how it should proceed. What do you think? I-10 bridge, should that be a priority?
I think it has to be a priority that we consider because if you've been on, you know, I-10 going east at 4 o'clock in the afternoon from gosh, Wednesday until Friday during the summer, you know that there's got to be some type of solution that we provide to alleviate that, because it is virtually consistently a parking lot. But how we get there is a different story. And I'm not keen at all on tolls, but we have to address that as a city, and quite frankly, as a region, Jeff. You know, Baldwin County and Mobile County have to partner to make both of our communities, you know, what they can be. Now, there's Coastal Alabama Partnership, which has done a great job on doing such. And we've got to do some more iterations of those kinds of relationships. Partnerships and togetherness is what this campaign is all about. We can all find reasons to divide ourselves, but it takes real leadership to bring people together. And when we do that, we all come to the realization that we are much more alike than we are different.
Well, you know, just watching it from where you are, is this getting help from the state? It seems like the state is the big hurdle right now, getting that overcome and getting a plan that the folks here in Mobile and Baldwin County can go with. How do you approach that?
Well, I think I'm encouraged by some of the recent actions with our governor. Governor Ivey was here, you know, a couple weeks ago, and she has made a tremendous, significant investment in University of South Alabama Medical Center. And there are other individuals that can do so as well. I think that from a municipal perspective, we've got to engage our state representatives, because that's our thoroughfare. They're our representatives who represent our interest with the state. Again, another opportunity for partnership. We've got to get some task force together that foster building these bridges first here in our city. Municipal government, county government, state government. We've got to get us talking and on the same page so that we can then, you know, produce our best product to present to the state. And I think that if we do that, in fact, I know that when we do that, the state's going to be a lot more cooperative.
Well, let's talk about other infrastructure. I guess one of the big things, it looks like the downtown airport's going to become the you know, the city's commercial airport.
Yes, sir.
Was that the right move?
It was. It was the right move 20 years ago. I mean, I've been saying the airport should be downtown as long as I've been living here in the city as an adult. You know, at that intersection, you've got the intersection of air, water, and rail, as well as over-the-road transportation at Michigan Avenue. All of those things come together at Michigan Avenue and Broad Street. So it was absolutely the right move. When we saw the space shuttle land at Brookley Field 20, 30 years ago, at that point, something should have gone off.
Like,
you say, if we can land this here, then this is where our commercial air transportation needs to be. And I think, coupled with the fact that there were many low-cost carriers who told us, we're not interested in going to Bates Field.
Right.
We're only interested in going to Brookley if you want to utilize our services.
Let's we got to wrap it up here, but folks want to find out more about your campaign, find you on social media, anywhere else. Tell them where to go.
Sure. Well, we are on Facebook at Carlos Finley, and we're at Twitter at Finley #4, Mayor 21. Instagram, we're at Finley for Mayor 2021. And our website is FinleyForMayor2021.com.
Judge Finley, I appreciate it. We're going to do it again real soon. Thank you for coming in this morning.
I will look forward to it, and I thank you so very much for the opportunity.
So, hopeful Carlos Finley. We've got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
The big rig.